You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Moving away from resignations to suspensions, we got confirmation on Friday that the acting group chief executive officer at South African Airways has been placed on special leave with immediate effect, pending the outcome of an internal process. We're going to be taking a look at this with our aviation expert, Dr. Guy Leach, who joins me on the line now to see what we make of this. Guy, lovely having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. We're surprised when we got the sudden resignation of the previous CEO along with the three board members that left at the same time. We got the announcement that we've got an interim acting chief executive officer. Now there's a suspension there. What do we make of these developments?
Yeah, hi, Jimmy, and nice to be with you as always. Well, I think that clearly what we are to make of it is that it points to a much deeper malaise or problem within SAA. The reality is that the airline is really battling. It's put on a very brave face since the business rescue process and COVID, but that face started showing big cracks when the annual financial results were examined, and we suddenly saw that what looked very suspiciously like a couple of billion-dollar bailouts and selling off the family silver in terms of London Heathrow slots to try and keep the airline solvent or at least cash positive. So there was enormous pressure on Prof. John Lamola. And there was a lot of questions asked when he suddenly bailed with three board members. And of course, let's not forget that the Auditor General was extremely critical of not just qualifying the results, but disclaiming the financial results. So it showed that the airline was in a pretty poor condition. And of course, the CFO went at the same time as well. So the acting CEO job for Mr. Shashebi must have been a temporary job and a hospital pass. I see that there is reports in the daily newspapers today saying everyone's saying, oh, I told you so. Well, in a sense, I suppose it's easy to say that because they really do need to find the right person for the job. And it is an impossibly difficult job to actually do properly.
Guy, what seems to be the difficulty around the job? I mean, you touched on the fact that we did start to see some signs of life when we looked at the financials until we dug a little deeper. I remember having a conversation with the then chief executive at the time, Prof. Lamola, around whether or not SAA intended to go back to being the largest airline on the African continent as it once was, whether they were looking at expanding routes, expanding into more global operations. And the firm answer at the time, if I remember correctly, the firm answer was no, we're going to focus on the operations we have at the moment, making sure that those work. So then I suppose the question then here is, which direction does SAA need to be moving in?
Okay, the answer is, Prof. Lamola was correct. The airline cannot aspire to be the biggest airline on the African continent again, because Ethiopian Airline has shot ahead to an uncatchable position. And quite frankly, all the other long-haul carriers, all the external international long-haul carriers have come in and eaten SAA's lunch on the long-haul routes, especially those operating through the Middle East hubs, Emirates in particular. So SAA had reset its sights to becoming just a regional carrier. Also, it needs to be noted, by the way, that the airline is so undercapitalized that it can't possibly afford to buy new aircraft, even lease them, at competitive rates. So it's making do with old aircraft and trying to operate on regional routes. That means with domestic routes in South Africa and across Southern Africa up to Accra and Ghana. But it's really batting on those routes as well. While there's been quite decent growth, the airline has found itself very short of equipment. And indeed, the airline industry around the world has got 6 to 7 year waiting lists for new aircraft. So SAA is not going to get out of that hole very quickly. The reality is that it looks like it's back to the bad old days before Dudu Mienyi, where the airline just cannot fulfill its mandate of being both a developmental institution and a competitive airline without at least costing the taxpayer a billion rand a year or more.
Guy, with that in mind, where then does the intervention sit from the taxpayer's perspective? In this case, unlike other businesses, the stakeholder in question here is the government of South Africa, and by extension, the people of South Africa. Minister Creasy, as I suppose the representative stakeholder for this particular asset or this particular SOE, if you are then sitting in her shoes, perhaps, and you're looking at this SOE and saying, we need to figure out what we're doing here, what decision needs to be taken here from a stakeholder perspective around how we move SAA forward?
Well, the big question, which no one actually wants to address, dare I call it the elephant in the room, is do we need a state-owned airline at all? The answer, actually, if we be honest with ourselves, is no. These days in codeship operations, you can often buy a ticket and you end up flying on a completely different airline. And indeed, that was Lamola's and Shashevi's strategy. They were going to continue to expand the codeshare operations in the absence of being able to buy new aircraft. So there's not a lot of argument to be made that we continue to need a flag carrier. I'm reasonably open to the argument that the airline is important and plays a useful role in terms of the multiplier effect it brings in creating transport linkages. That's very much my field of study, and I'm sympathetic to that. But there are limits to how much you can afford to do that, because what really needs to not be forgotten is that subsidizing an airline means that you are effectively taking funds from the poor to subsidize the rich travelers. And I think that in many senses, in a development economy such as South Africa, is unconscionable. So the airline solemnly promised, or rather Pravin Gordhan solemnly promised, that it wouldn't ask for bailouts. I don't know how much longer that promise is going to last.
Guy, about 2 weeks ago, the UAE-based airline Emirates Airline agreed to increase the number of regional codes and access codes with South African Airways. Some strategic decisions that were made there around kind of expanding the relationship between the two commercial airlines. Is that sort of agreement a potential solution to SAA's current woes, or does that create new sets of problems for the airline and not address the underlying existing problems?
No, it's very much the correct strategy, probably the only really real strategy to go right now. And the great pity about it is that we shouldn't be messing around with interlining agreements and code share agreements at this stage, because under Nico Bezuidenhout had 10 years ago, an actual partnership, pretty much a strategic equity partnership, was negotiated and signed with, or rather agreed with, Emirates, and it was all due to be signed at the Paris Air Show when Dudu Mieni phoned up Nico Bezuidenhout and said he couldn't come back to South Africa if he signed it. And that really, really set the airline back enormously, because it would have been great for it to have had a true partner like Emirates. So at this stage, I won't say it's right reorganizing the deck chairs on the Titanic to mess around with codeshare agreements. It all helps, but it's not the silver bullet that will help SAA become profitable again. The real issue about these codeshares is what we call feeding and defeeding of routes. You know, you need to be able to defeed your routes by getting the people off the aircraft and then onto regional airlines to take them to, you know, Vergenoeg and Blikkies-Onderwater and all of those sort of places. And you need to feed your routes by getting other airlines to bring people to use your routes so you can book through with one place. That's what these code-sharing agreements do. So it all helps, but it's not a solution in itself.
The national carrier known as South African Airways facing some serious questions following the special leave of the acting chief executive officer, and where the airline heads to from here. We'll have to leave this conversation on that note. Aviation expert Dr. Guy Leach joining us to take a look at these developments and see if we can make sense of them.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.